Hello and welcome to another Edgelord episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories and then the next chapter from an ongoing novel of mine, Soul. As usual, if you'd like to know more about this week's story, where it came from, or anything else that comes to mind, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into it. Today's episode is called The Avatar of Woe. Kneeling down, head bowed, I could feel the magic rising. The chanting of the masters in a ring around me was droning on. I could almost fool myself that it was the usual evening prayers being rung out. Almost. The scented oils anointing my face and hands started to burn. This was the right thing to do. It had to be. I thought, what would you do if you knew you were going to die? Not in the one day sometime, maybe surrounded by your loved ones, maybe in the glory of battle. No, in minutes. The ritual will be completed, and you'll be used as a human conduit. The war had been raging for decades, countless lives lost in the meat grinder known as the Red Line, where both armies never gave an inch and sacrificed everything for it. So much magic had been used on both sides during the war, the world felt thin. That it could be torn asunder at any moment. Great atrocities had been committed in the name of winning. Winning. What did that even mean? We were taught to hate them. They were barbaric. They wanted nothing but our utter destruction. Ever since being chosen as the sacrifice, the honor, I'd found myself thinking heretical thoughts. Didn't we want nothing but their utter destruction? What we did in war, was that not barbaric? Could I be so sure that we were on the side of good? Is that even a thing? I kept these thoughts to myself. I was so sure that given time, I could figure it out. I could find the answers to these terrifying questions. Kneeling here, the oils now etched into my skin and glowing in spirals and horrific arcane marks. Time was something I did not have. The trembling came back, and the chanting was reaching an orgasmic crescendo. The polished marble floor started to radiate cracks from my seated form. The pressure was mounting, the sounds, the pain, the smells. It was getting too much. My head felt like it was gonna burst. I needed release. Opening my mouth to scream, I realized in horror, I no longer had control over my own voice. Trying to move, I had lost control of that too. I was a prison of my own flesh. The air in front of me shimmered, and tears in the very fabric of space started to appear. Colors streaming and flickering, darting through like probing hungry fingers, searching, seeking. Struggling to breathe, struggling to scream, they came closer until they made contact with the etchings on my skin. Then like a whip, they all snapped to me at once. I was connected by a growing tunnel of colors, flashing in and out of existence. The chanting still orgasming in nature, wild and raw, filling my ears. A ripping sound like reality itself was crying in pain, and then silence. Complete and deafening silence. In front of me, gently floating in the air, the avatar of woe. Time stood still. I tried to comprehend what I saw. My brain could not see all of her. It felt like it had given up and was rendering the closest approximation to what it thought existed in space before me. She did not belong in this reality. She was gorgeous. Glorious. Four massive steel-tipped wings lazily flapping behind her, the burnished white-black armor hugging her figure, the blade gripped tightly in one hand, reaching all the way to the floor. Her eyes. Glowing gold. Empty and yet full of promise. Pain. Stared at me.
Child.
Her soft voice emptied my head of all thought except for her.
Why am I summoned?
Slowly, the devastation that her words had caused passed through me, and I was able to construct a thought. Revenge. open my mouth to speak the words that have been drilled into me my entire life. I give myself to you to allow your manifestation into this world, to follow the will of counsel in all things. This I do willingly and of my own free will. Those were the words. I had practiced them so often I knew them better than my own name. The avatar of woe floated in the air, an almost gleeful look on her face as she watched me struggle with the words.
Child, we are in no hurry.
Her honeyed voice embraced me, wrapped me up and made me feel warm, her wings gently stirring the air around me. I had been taught that the masters could only hold the portal open for a short amount of time, so I needed to be quick with my words. Was she lying? Part of me roused itself and spat. Who cares? You're going to be dead anyway. I managed to raise my eyes again from a steel-toed shoes that still looked somehow dainty on her slender legs and met her gaze. How long do we have, Avatar of Woe? I asked in the lilting voice I'd been taught to use. This floating goddess stared at me before cracking a smile.
We have as long as you want, child.
She paused.
You may call me Celine.
Looking around at the frozen figures making up the circle, I tried to understand what was happening. Celine? My voice croaked out compared to her silky smooth tones. I thought we had to make a deal as soon as you arrived in the world. Her smile widened.
Let me guess.
She gracefully gestured with the tip of one of her four wings at the masters in the circle.
They taught you that.
I nodded.
It's always the same,
she continued.
Every time I'm summoned, it's never the old men giving up their life as a conduit. They raise some impressionable young thing to think it's their destiny.
That traitorous part in the back of my mind was laughing with glee. I knew it. I told you those old fuckers lied about everything. My mind was struggling. I felt like it was going to shatter. I couldn't handle this. I had to ask. I was still not sure what else I could do. They want you to destroy the enemy. Could you do that? Celine hung there, gently smiling at me, before asking,
Is that what they wanted, child?
Frowning, I brought the words I'd been taught back to mind. Well, I said slowly, not exactly. The words ask that you follow the will of the council. She nodded along like a patient teacher, letting the traitorous part of my mind take over as I couldn't even think these thoughts properly. It gleefully ran my mouth. No, they never specified you do anything except be their slave. Celine was grinning at me.
Child, I would like to show you something. I believe it will help you.
I nodded. What choice did I really have here? I just finished nodding when I felt the world slipping away from me. A jarring feeling struck, and I found myself standing next to Celine in the grand throne room. Six ornate thrones sat on a dais in the palatial room. The council room. It looked different from what I'd been told. I'd never seen it in person, of course. Almost no one was allowed in. Once I had a moment, my eyes could wander. It felt wrong, different. And that's when I saw the crest directly overhead. It was built into the ceiling in burnished gold and gems, the twin-headed ibis, the emblem of the enemy.
Looks just like ours, I exclaimed. Celine floated there. Where was the barbarism? Where were the sacrificial altars they used? Everyone knew the stories. They killed not just their enemies, but sacrificed their own for more power.
My mind whispered, just like you. I felt it in my soul. I looked over at Celine and cleared my throat.
Can I ask you something, Celine?
She didn't turn to face me, her wings lazily moving the air.
Of course, child.
This war. Who started it?
Does it matter, child?
Of course it mattered, didn't it? Celine continued.
I have watched your two countries for a long time now. The best and brightest being sent to the red line, year after year. Nothing changes. It's always the same.
She shrugged.
Does it matter who started it?
I thought, really, tried to think. However, the well-worn channels of my mind, carved there by years of repetitive training as an acolyte, made it difficult.
The traitorous part of my mind was howling, scrabbling for attention. I tried to relax into meditation and let that part of me work. I don't know how long the two of us were there in silence, but I knew what I actually needed to ask. Celine, who keeps this war going? Celine gently turned in the air to face me.
Now, child, that is a better question.
She gestured to the thrones.
It's always the old people who dream up wars. It's never their place to die in them. That's left for the young.
It struck me like a fist. Celine. I tried to clear my throat. Celine, could I ask you, instead of leashing yourself to the council? I paused and couldn't help but look around before continuing in a very small voice. Could you destroy both councils? The grin on Celine's face began small and grew.
Of course, child. It would mean your own death, though.
Do you think it'll stop the war, Celine? She was still grinning.
Oh no, child. Nothing is as simple as that. If you wanted to stop the war, you could ask them to destroy every citizen.
My training salivated at that thought. That's how I knew it was not the right thing to do. Celine, I don't just want to stop the war, I want it to never happen again. She nodded slowly at me, sadly.
I am sorry, child. Even I cannot do what you want. I cannot change human behavior.
I thought back on my life, of the never-ending repetitive days spent in the halls of truth as an acolyte. Wait. Celine, do you listen to our prayers?
I cannot hear them, child. I do not belong here.
I trembled. I couldn't control it and started to shake violently. My mind was blank and clear. Oh, avatar of woe. I swallowed, my voice kept going without any real input from me. I give myself to you to allow your manifestation into this world to destroy all council members and all leaders of both halls. This I do willingly and of my own free will. Celine looked at me. Time stretched. I was just opening my mouth again to ask if I'd made a mistake when she interrupted me. In a pealing, ringing voice that filled every crevice in the air, Celine responded,
"The agreement is made."
I managed to find my voice again, still shaking. "Do you think this will help?" Celine smiled.
"It might stop the war, child. For how long, I cannot say."
She reached a hand out towards me. I felt myself growing thin. She continued, I was almost gone.
"I am not sure what is going to happen. However, you have given this world a second chance."
Just before I disappeared, I realized. The traitorous part of my mind, which was always yelling or screaming or sulking for attention, was quiet. I was finally at peace. That was The Avatar of Woe. I had fun writing this one. It came originally from a writing exercise. I was struggling to get any writing done, so one of the exercises I use is to go to my folder of inspiration pictures, choose one, and spend 10 minutes explaining the image. That's usually enough to get a feel for it, especially this one, as its image is so exaggerated and fantastical that my prose ended up the same way. All end of the world, O Lord, gracious one, etc. The name Avatar of Woe comes from a magic card of the same name. I have always loved the feelings that card evokes, and it really fits Celine in the story. She's not on the side of good or evil, she's so far beyond that, so when she is summoned, it's a nice treat for her. She gets to see what the humans have been up to, and what fascinating new ways we have come up with to be really shitty to each other. Now, I know I said I had fun writing this, but I'm not happy with it. It's not in my voice or style. I can feel myself trying way too hard here. Also, usually in my writing, I can get a feel for where something is coming from, but it's never from just one place. It's blended together in my head and comes out formed from my own experience. With this piece, though, I can see large chunks of other writings. I didn't realize at the time, of course, but it's very clear to me when I was going over it and editing. where I'd taken from Small Gods by Terry Pratchett or Envoy by Shauna Jay. Deep cut on that one, as I just checked, and that book was published 30 years ago. The themes of the stupidity of war, or the blindness of religion, or the old sending the young to die, they're all themes that we have to deal with in our current life. I just took them and ramped them all up to the ridiculous. It's also such pure wish fulfillment of forcing the powerful and corrupt to actually face consequences. If I did it again, I probably wouldn't finish it. I enjoyed writing it with its overblown prose and its utterly one-dimensional evil. However, editing it was a chore, which for me is a pretty clear sign that I'm not proud of it. Piece of trivia, the enemy are never given a name in the story, because in the original piece, I call them the Synog. Yeah, could I have gotten any more 80s hacky sci-fi? As for the original image itself, like with all my inspiration pictures, I strip them of their identifying information when I see them, so I'm not influenced by anything except the picture itself. After I finish writing from them, I go and check out the original to see what it was. This was a piece done by Ate Galyan for League of Legends as the splash screen for a new hero at the time, Kaylee. He is now the creative director of his own game studio, Envar. You would think that doing this so much, I know I shouldn't be surprised when I check on inspiration piece and find that it's done by a super talented and accomplished person, but it still gets me. Writing a message to someone asking for permission to show their artwork on my tiny website, it's always funny. Well, that's all for this week. I would like to promise that next week will not be as edgelord, but it is. Just not like pulp sci-fi, more crippling depression. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. Hopefully, I'll see you all for the next episode. Take care.